All right. Hello, Idiots on Parade, the too ugly for TV podcast. We mock the news so you don't have to. With me, as always, is my buddy Jake Vevra, stand-up comedian in New York City.
How's it going?
All is well here, and we have a guest. Anthony, introduce yourself, because I don't think I know your location, so I can't say so. Say hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, I'm a New England comedian, so Boston, Maine, all there. I live in Maine. My name's Anthony Eugenio. Thank you guys for having me.
I didn't want to try and pronounce it and fuck it up.
Oh, yeah, no, it's all right.
Maine, all right. The only thing I know about Maine is it's really good at meth, is what I've been told.
Quite good. Yeah, we're the best, almost. We're great at meth and maple syrup at the same time, so.
There we go. I party. Always only got meth, so don't feel bad.
Fuck you, corn. Suck a dick. I'm Nathan.
High fructose corn syrup and meth. The only way to make meth worse for you.
I don't know if I introduced myself. If I did, I'm doing it twice. Nathan Timmel, stand-up comedian in Iowa City. And if I didn't, there you go. All right. I sent you all the stories. And then, of course, yesterday something happened. Iran got frisky. And yeah. So that kind of supersedes everything. They've been saying for a few days, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. And then they did. Here are my thoughts. When I read the story I read, I think what Iran did, or Iran, I don't know which way, they launched a bunch of drones. And in the story,
it's Iran. Right there. They don't like being called Iran. That's why they're doing this in the first place. They really hate when people throw a hard A in there.
It's their pronouns.
It's like my last name. Don't fucking mispronounce my last name or I will send drones.
It's I/Ron, not Ran, not Ran.
Iran is what you say. It's you're fucking up their pronouns. I'm dead naming Iran by saying Iran. Yep. I'm dead naming them. And so I'm going to get canceled for being unwoke. All right. So I read the article and it said they launched drones that would take several. That means three. One is one. A couple is two. And several is three. Several hours to hit Israel. I think they did that. Literally so they could stay on their news. Oh, we attacked Israel. We are fighting for the glory of Iran, knowing full well that several hours in the air, they're all going to get shot down. This is not a hypersonic missile. This is not like a sneak attack. I think they literally like, hey, guys, we know you can shoot these down, but we got to look good for our citizens. That's honestly what I think it is. They could have done so many things. Putting drones in the air for 3 hours of target practice, like, oh, got one. Oh, missed him. There, got him. That's what I think they did. I think it's a show.
I heard somewhere, I think I was watching a news conference afterwards, and they said something like they sent out, I'm going to mess up the number, but like 107 drone strikes or missiles, and only seven of them hit targets, and all the targets are fine. So I think you're right. I think they're just trying to, you know, big dick.
Yeah. It wasn't a car Iran. Bomb. It wasn't something that just happened. It was, you know, not like, hey, giving advance notice, but it is kind of projected what they did.
If only before spending all that drone money on those drones, they'd have just Googled Israel and Iron Wall for like 30 seconds, and they would have known this is a waste of drone money. We should not break the piggy bank for this one.
Have you seen those Iron Dome videos? Those things are fucking
they're
awesome.
Impressive. They're pretty. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
And if they're trying to bankrupt us or Israel by we'll make them. Guess what? That's the whole point of having a defense industry is. They love spending on money replacing shit. They love it. That's why I don't understand about the conservatives that are against aid to Ukraine, because it's literally we get to keep most of the money. See, we take the money from our taxpayers and we give it to our defense contractors and they make things and then they give them to Ukraine, or we give our older supplies to Ukraine and then they need replaced. But very little of it is, hey, Ukraine, just take this money and go nuts. Do what you're going to do. Some of it, but most of it stays in defense. I thought that was like Republicans' wet dream. Oh, defense contractors, you know.
Well, especially with Russia, it's weird to hear the party of Reagan going, listen, Putin's not such a bad fucking guy. I don't know why everyone's got to take his shit out of context. I mean, just listen to what Tucker said, man. Tucker got the story out of him, huh?
Beautiful subway. Beautiful, beautiful subway.
Yeah, and they got nice grocery stores. You got to put a quarter to get the shopping cart. Yeah, those are the same people that screamed bloody murder when Michael Moore got, medical care on that documentary for people from Cuba.
Right. I forgot about that, but I love that. My favorite part was, oh, so you're saying that Russia is kind of like an Aldi? that you have to put a quarter. So they've achieved Aldi technology with their shopping carts. Is that that's what you're talking about?
Well, I don't know if the pinnacle, like the measurement of a great society, should be how much change does it take to get a shopping cart. To me, that's a sign of like things ain't going great here. The grocery store was about to go under if it wasn't for the putting a quarter before you steal the shopping cart for either a free little rickshaw or scrapping it for part. Whatever people were doing over there with shopping carts, eventually somebody had to jump in and be like, no more. It's kind of like when you go to Jersey and you stop at the gas station and you go to put gas in, and a guy damn near tases you to get that thing out of your hands. He says, sir, it is against the law. It is against the law. You can't fight the big gas pumper lobbyist in this state. They have made it against the law for you to pump your own gas. If you pump your own gas, about a quarter of our state's economy is done. It's done. We have to subsidize this industry.
Isn't that Oregon?
This is where we
well?
Part ways, actually, fellas, because I'm going to be pro-Russia here for the Aldi carts. I'm in on that, pro-Russia on the carts, because in especially New England, maybe out there by you guys too, maybe you guys are more polite than us, but we leave shopping carts all over the fucking plaza, and they go into cars. I call them monsters. Everybody that leaves their cart out there, I yell at them. I tell them, put your fucking cart back. And Aldi, never once you're going to see that there, because you got to get your quarterback. You're not going to leave that there. That's some meth. Like you said, how much meth is that?
Yeah. It's a little bit.
I don't follow him, but I do enjoy when that guy, I don't know what they call him, but his whole TikTok account is taking shopping carts. Like, oh, is this yours? Okay. And then he just puts it right behind their car. I'm like, I get a little kick
it's
out of
great.
That every goddamn time.
I feel the same way about, like, there's not a ton of, I don't drive out here, so I just like walk to the stores and stuff. It's all corner stores and bodegas here. But I feel the same way about people who do not pick up their dog shit in New York City. It is too fucking crowded of a street. And you know where most of the dog shit goes? What their piece of shit argument would be is, well, it goes in the planters most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time it goes in the planters. It's dirt anyway. Yeah. And you know who steps in it? People like myself, who are picking up after their dog shitting in the planters, because I live in a society, you fucking animals. I want to take the, it's not the dog's fault. They are an animal that shits wherever. I'm mad at the animal who's carrying them around on the leash, letting them shit wherever, not doing anything. I think if you have a dog and you do not pick after it, you should be dragged down to the pound, and we pump you with as much dog drugs as it takes to kill a fucking horse, and we execute you with dog medicine.
Where is dog shit on the hierarchy of shit in New York City sidewalks? Like, is it like the fifth worst shit that you can find on there? Like, human shit's got to be pretty far. The
human
ladder,
shit
right?
Is worse, for yeah, but you don't see as much.
It's more
of
a San
it,
Francisco
you know?
Thing, I think.
It is, yeah. You tend to see more human shit. It like they don't really do that in most places where people are walking. You tend to see that like they'll go off the edge of the subway platform or something like that. Still not the best place to shit, I guess. But
well,
you
not
know,
if they hit the third rail. Then you have electrified smelling burnt shit. Then you have like shit that smells burnt electricity.
But they call it the third rail because it's the farthest away. To hit the third rail with shit from the platform, I mean, you have to be explosive diarrhea so bad that you were going to die anyway, probably from whatever's doing that to your gut. And B, you have to bend over and hit it with the perfect angle to where, I mean, like it should be an Olympic sport, to be honest, if there's that many people doing that, because I find that way more impressive being able to shit on the third rail from the platform. I find that way more impressive than, hey, you ever seen somebody swim? Not quite as fast as this guy. He's 3/10 of a second faster than everybody else. Like, no. I want to see the competitive train shitting.
I think that's the plot of Ninja Turtles. That's how they created them, was shitting on the third rail, I think.
It should be. Turtles shit on the third rail, and now they know kung fu.
All I got out of that is that I bet I could hit that with the arc of my piss. I bet that a piss arc could. Now,
well, piss is definitely a lot easier,
yeah,
for sure.
Because it's a screen. All right, did anybody see any news this morning? Is there any update on Iran, dead naming him? Or is it just they did that one thing and...
Not really, man. I mean, Israel's probably going to respond again. I mean,
that's what they do.
Iran says this is a response to an embassy bombing. And I heard this thing's been going on for a while. So
yeah.
Basically, I'm expecting it to get wrapped up sometime next week, if I had to guess. Hopefully, this isn't an option to bet on DraftKings, or
You heard it's been going on for a while. This is the first, like, turmoil in the Middle East? What?
Yeah.
I was stunned when this all started. So,
For a land called the Holy Land, there seems to be a lot of war and killing and, you know, desert and nothing grows there. I don't know. Maybe
we've been over this. It's all killing in God's name, so it's all justified. God is always on your side, no matter which side it is, so it's all good.
Yeah, the price you can't get
is better than theirs.
It's a land where nothing grows if you put seeds in the ground. I'm pretty sure that's God's way of telling everybody there to leave.
Cacti, motherfucker. They grow in, I don't know if they come from seeds, germinate.
Cactus?
Yeah.
All right, they got cactus. I'm just saying, a place called the Holy Land should grow more than cactus and IEDs. That's all I'm saying. There should be more in the ground than cactuses and IEDs.
Well, we go back to your DraftKings in the Middle East line. That's oil. Great. Sorry.
What's up?
Is that they have oil. That's why they all bomb each other. Is that they have cactus, IEDs, and oil. Those are the big three.
Fair enough. God did give them oil. God's Republican as fuck. He's like, no growing kale. You're gonna get oil. That's what you get.
All right. I Googled the shit out of this next story, and I could only find news sites like the one I said. I couldn't find a CNN, Fox News, MSNBC, Newsmax. I couldn't find any. All I could find were these little side stories. These bullshit websites. So I hope to fuck this is true. I hope this is true. Woman tipped two servers $1,077 because the rapture was coming. And then she returned to the restaurant after the eclipse to demand her money back because, oops, no rapture. This sounds like something a hardcore Christian would do, but I can't verify it. I can't find a reliable source that says... The eclipse was the rapture, and so she gave money to these people. It came from Reddit, and we all know how reliable Reddit is. So, but even if it's satire,
I trust it like a crisp and trust the gospel.
Right. It's like satire that's so good it could be believable. You know.
Well, let's pretend it's true for a second. That has to be only one of 60 things that she did that with that day, right? Like, if she's doing that, she's definitely like went to her job and she's like, never doing this shit again. See you guys fucking later. She's going to her kids. She's like, I don't like you. You're getting nothing. All that. And the next day she's like, I got to go back to Chili's.
She's emailing DraftKings going, hey, listen, I put rent money on an 18 leg parlay yesterday and world's still happening.
I put $500,000 in Iran, actually. I've been doing the Israel DraftKings and did not go well.
Yeah, I bet my Roth IRA that there'd be peace in the Middle East starting yesterday because of the rapture. And turned out they did the old rapture shuffle on me, that goddamn priest. He took some of my money. He convinced me to give you some of my money. And basically, I'm kind of like Biff in Back to the Future too, but the opposite. All my predictions are way wrong, and I'm losing money at gambling today.
I have two thoughts. One pisses me off. It's the fact that going through the story, you're going to realize they never said the restaurant, you know, never said, oh, she went into, and that's a fucking red flag right there.
Yeah.
It's like, they're going to put it happen
when
at
should be.
Right. A Red Lobster and wherever. And I already forgot my second point, but the fact that they go through this whole story and never say what restaurant it was. I mean, this, and whenever someone writes suck my dick, no tip, they always take a picture of the slip and they post it. And this pisses me off. I think this is a bullshit story. I bet if we took this lady's picture and it's not even, that's a stock photo picture. I was going to say, I bet if we Google that, we'll find it's a stock, but it is a stock photo. There's no real pictures. God damn it. I wanted this to be true so bad.
It turns out it was posted by former congressman from New York, George Santos. So it's reliability is questionable.
I like that you guys talk about the reliability and look into all that stuff. In our podcast, we are like 100% going with it, no matter. No matter where the source, we love it.
This has the opportunity to be the next Hunter Biden's laptop. When that started, it was like, oh, it's so outlandish. How could that ever be true? And look what happened. It wrapped back around. So maybe in a couple of days, this will hit a legitimate news source.
I still want it to be true. So I'm going to argue against you. You make good points, but I think they left off the restaurant because they didn't want to get sued out of existence like the MyPillow guy. They're like, listen, Pizza Hut's got a lot of lawyer money. Well, maybe not these days, but Papa John's does, one of those guys, you know, Domino's something. So they didn't put the thing on there.
Who's suing them?
What do you mean?
You said lawyer. Who would sue them?
No, I'm talking about the MyPillow guy. They didn't say the name of Pizza Hut or Domino's or whatever because they didn't want to get sued like the MyPillow guy by Pizza Hut. Sorry, I kind of jumped around a lot there.
I wasn't understanding who was filing the lawsuit.
That would be the restaurant for slander against.
Gotcha. They're like, how dare you? They're trying to pocket that tip money and not spread it out.
Yep, they don't want to settle out of court with the some evangelical group from Mississippi.
All right,
I will say if I was the server and they came back and asked for $1,000 because the rapture didn't happen, I would be like, listen, I'm not giving you the full $1,000 back. I will give you a quarter. I will give you $250, but you now have to get down on your knees like that kid at the end of There Will Be Blood, and you have to say, I am an idiot, and my God is a superstition, and the rapture never happened. I'm a moron. While I slap you in the face over and over again with the $250. And after a couple minutes of that, being live stream on TikTok, I will give you a quarter of this money back because I'm a good man.
I'm a comedian. I've done a lot more for a lot less. I tell you, fucking Jesus.
Yeah, I would pretend to be this person for like $50 and get smacked with the money.
Definitely. That's spot money.
So yeah, you throw in a drink ticket. Oh my God. The things I would let them slap me with.
All right, guys. I have an idea, and I'm going to bounce this off you. Stay with me here. If anybody ever wants to commit murder, here's the idea. Go to Italy. I saw a story about Amanda Knox. I clicked on it, and then I went down a little Amanda Knox rabbit hole. And the reason I sent you is because I read that the guy that actually did kill the student, Meredith Kircher, Amanda Knox was tried, found guilty, and then overturned. They realized they fucked it all up because they had fingerprints. Either way, a known burglar, Rudy Goud, G-U-E-D, Goud, was arrested and sentenced to 30 years for murder, but later got that reduced to 16 years. And then after serving less than, where is it? I saw it. Basically, he's out. He could finish his term for murder. Murder. He got sentenced to murder, reduced to 16 years for murder. Didn't even serve that, is out doing community service. That's what Italy said is, you killed that poor American tourist, but, you know, just clean up some litter on the side of the road and you're good to go. Holy shit, Italy. Now, at the same time, Vietnam just did it right with white collar crime. We had the whole banking fiasco in 2008, collapsed the world economy, and nobody got punished. Meanwhile, Trong Mai Lan, Vietnamese billionaire, sentenced to death for $44 billion in fraud. Vietnam is saying, fuck you, death penalty, white collar crime. And Italy is saying, go pick up some litter if you murder an American. I don't know. The world is full of crazy polar opposites when it comes to... and in Singapore, they beat the shit out of you for spitting gum on the street. So, wow, what a world we live in.
To be fair to Italy, I heard that Roy Goud got let out because of Goud behavior. What?
I hate you so much.
There we go.
I'm still pissed at you for using myself where me would have been appropriate back there. Like a guy like myself that cleans up dog. Me, a guy like me. God damn it with that myself shit. Knock it off.
Listen, what am I fucking? Am I a fucking English professor? No.
Is it weird that I kind of like sympathize with Italy a little bit? Like I completely understand where they come from letting that guy out. Like, for instance, like imagine you're at the Gillette Stadium and you're watching the Patriots and like a Jet fan is there. And you want to kill a fellow Patriots fan because they get in your way or something. And then we blame it on the Jets fan. I'm pretty sure that everybody's going to be cool with that. Like, you see what I mean? Like, you got to go. And Italy's going to go with the nationality. They're going to go with the home team, I think, most of the time. And I'm
I think so too, because I live in a city where there's a lot of tourists and they are annoying as shit. They stand there blocking the train as you're trying to get off. They go up and down the subway stairs real slow. They have no spatial awareness. Basically, I'm pro tourist murder. Like, I don't think it should be legal, but I think instead of like, okay, here's life in prison for killing a non-tourist, here's a $50 fine. Like, you don't get off scot-free. You know what I mean?
Or but pinning you a murder on a tourist. Like, that. Right. That's, yeah, that too. That you shouldn't get anything. You can always pin a murder on a tourist.
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know that he pinned it on Knox. I think that was just police incompetence and wishful thinking. Like, a bunch of foreigners hanging out in our country. All they're going to do is kill each other and do stupid foreigner shit. So, yeah, she and the other guy are guilty. And then when they did arrest one of their own, it's like, oh, God damn it. Kind of like,
I bet he's saying he did, though. I bet to all his friends, he's like, you see the mastermind that I fucking am for this fucking this thing? Like, the other, last week, and I just got the show this week, some promoter put my face on a flyer for somebody else's name underneath it. And I was like, hey, that's not him. And he's like, you want to do the show anyways? And I was like, oh, hell yeah. But if you ask me tomorrow, I'll be like, it's because I'm so good that I got that show.
That's better than my favorite thing is when I show up somewhere and it's a, you've seen him on HBO and Letterman and Colbert, and now he's working a dive bar in the middle of nowhere, South Dakota. Like, yeah, because that's us. Yeah. Good credits. That never been on HBO. You fucking twat waffle. If I had, why would I be here?
Yeah, I do. If you're going to make up credits, just say that I opened for Don Rickles. Like, really have fun with it, you know?
But what do you think of Vietnam? I actually love that they're putting her to death. I would have loved to have seen every bank. You talk about tourist deaths. Fucking kill every banker that participates in... even if... Shit, like someone like Jamie Dimon. You know he's guilty of something. If you catch him on jaywalking, death penalty. Just because you're a billionaire that fucks people over. I think the penalty should be harsher for billionaires. All across the board, they should have to live an exemplary life. And if they get caught speeding, $1 billion fine or, $100 million or something. But I love that they put that lady to death. I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, why are you going to be a billionaire committing white collar business crimes in a country that was under a Maoist government until 20 minutes ago? What the fuck did you think they were going to do to you? What did you think in Ho Chi Minh City was going to happen when they caught you committing fucking white collar crime? What do you do? What? No, you pay your taxes in Ho Chi Minh City.
Like, I see why we don't do that to people, but I feel like every single person maybe in the world has thought about murdering someone for a white collar crime. Like, I think all of us, right? We say that all the time.
Yeah.
I say make a play Squid Game, you know?
2,700 people were summoned to testify in her trial. 10 state prosecutors and around 200 lawyers were involved. The good part about that is it means any of the frivolous bullshit lawsuits in Vietnam, like we see here, where, oh, this bread promised it was spongy, but it wasn't spongy, so I'm suing the bread for false advertising, whatever, all the bullshit. They were all tied up, taking someone big down, and I like that, too.
Yeah, they cut down on frivolous lawsuits because, here, if a judge decides this is completely frivolous, I already pay some of their legal fees. Smash. There, instead of paying some of their legal fees, what happens is that eye patch guy from Deer Hunter comes out with like a little red pistol, a little red headband, and he yells, "Diddy Mao," at you until you fucking squeeze that thing at least twice. And, if you squeeze it, it's their kind of Squid Game. They were doing Squid Game in Vietnam on Deer Hunter. Long before Squid Game, they didn't need a big fancy budget like they need in South Korea. No, sir. In northern Vietnam, all they needed was one pistol and one bullet. That was all they needed. Boom, Squid Game.
Well, it used to be northern Vietnam, and then after we sort of skedaddled, it just became Vietnam.
Yeah, but that's where they played it, up there in the capital of northern Vietnam, whatever that was.
All right, moving on. This I thought was an interesting twist too.
There's a crazy man screaming outside my window. If you hear that, so
is he trying to shit inside your window? Is he aiming that diarrhea practicing for the third rail shot?
No, thankfully he's across the street. He lives across the street. He's like sort of in a home outpatient kind of situation, but You know, just a mentally ill guy. He lives with his parents, and if he doesn't take his meds, he turns into the Skillman Avenue rooster, and he opens that window and screams cock-a-doodle-doo or fuck you or whatever he's saying. It's hard to understand, but either way, you may hear the Skillman Avenue rooster in the background here.
And that's New York life for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so study after study after study has shown, survey, whatever you want to call it, that the harder the church goes after LGBTQ people, the more civilians just sort of drift away and say, I don't like all this hate. I got a gay cousin. I got a gay son. I got a gay brother. You know, like, gay people exist. The church doesn't seem to admit that. So I thought it was amusing that, okay, so when they come out and say gender-affirming surgery for trans people is an affront to human dignity, an affront to God, all right, I get that's going to be your position. The idea that they have added maternal surrogacy, like, hey, you can't have your own baby, God's will that you are barren, oh, you're going to have someone else carry it for you? That's a sin, too. I thought they were all about procreation. I thought they'd be like, oh, you can't have a baby. Now, sometimes there's a fucking Paris Hilton who says, oh, I don't want to ruin my figure. I'm just going to buy a baby for someone else. That's, I get it. I don't care. But, you know, you're rich for, you know, do it. But just
even rich people, I will say to that point, it's pretty difficult to get your eggs out and freeze them. Like, that IVF shit is a whole long process.
My wife and I went, that's how we got both our babies.
Yeah, right, man. I don't think there's a ton of people doing
that. We could not do it naturally. This isn't IVF, but yeah. So you're saying that surrogacy, if you can find someone to carry for you, it might be easier. Where were you going? I interrupted you.
I was saying it's a pain. If even if you do surrogacy, you kind of got to do the IVF thing because you got to somehow get your egg into that person. And it's not as simple as just jacking off into a Dixie cup for women in terms of, you know, getting the eggs over. You got to, you know, it shocks me that there's even rich people doing that. But I think as opposed to, you know, doing it naturally, if you have the ability, but sometimes they do, which is shocking, but it happens.
Well, I know rich
Christian way was like every life matters. You know what I mean? Like every life, no matter how you get it and get to you, that's kind of their thing, isn't it?
That's what I thought. That's why I thought it was so interesting. Like, I get it. You the gay trans that makes you act a certain way because your fucking Harry Potter book says, you know, naughty, naughty. But this going against the idea of a family, like, hey, I want to create a family. I want to have children, bring them into the be fruitful and multiply, but I can't. But science technology has said, oh, this person can help me. The fact that they're coming down against that, I think they're just going to lose more people. I think
it's pretty funny
more they
that their
add
stance
restrictions to life, they seem to think that this vice grip bullshit, people enjoy it and they don't. I think, you know, older people are going to that don't understand it still stick around. But man, they're just, I haven't seen a chart in a while, but every chart I see says, oh, you know, here in 1980, here in 1990, they just keep dropping in numbers, and this doesn't help. And good, because I'm not a fan of the church, but, you know.
Yeah, I do love that their stance on surrogacy, after making all the stink about pro-life and abortion, all that, their stance is like, whoa, God says that his will for you is to be the drunk aunt at the holiday parties that just kind of gives cheap presents to the kids and like awkwardly hugs them and kisses them until way too old of an age and, you know, stinks of cool cigarettes and booze and that's and too much perfume. That's what God wants for you. So, you have to have a bit of a prescription drug problem too. You'll kind of naturally fall into that later. But that is God's will. If you try to put one of your eggs into another lady, hell forever. He doesn't want that.
It's pretty incredible that the like social standing between LGBT and if you believe in God has completely flipped since like the 80s. Like if you were running for president in the 80s and you were like, I'm gay, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here. And then you have to say that you're Christian. But now I think if you say you're Christian, it's the same kind of result. Everybody's like, ew, get this guy out of here now.
Depending on the generation, I would agree. I think it's a generational thing.
Well, for president, every single president we've ever had said they were Christian. So I think for the middle of the country, at least, they still kind of want that. They want the stamp there. Now, Trump has turned a corner to where you do not have to say it convincingly at all. That's kind of
I was about
the
to say. I was like, he's a little loose saying he was Christian. He was like, yeah, all right.
All you got to do is say it. You don't have to sell it anymore. You had to sell it before. But like, as somebody who's never had a religious bone in my body, I've said this plenty of times on this podcast, as somebody who's never even read the Bible, if you're talking about the Bible to me, I should not be able to tell that you're faking it. With him, I can't. I'm like, dude, I've never read that book, but I can tell that you've somehow read less of it than me.
All right. This, end on something light. I love this story so much. And I just because it's so obvious and stupid that it makes me happy. It just makes me happy. As obesity rates rise, big food and dietitians push anti-diet advice. Now, I have seen these people on TikTok and Instagram. I have seen them, the influencers. What they do is there's this movement, healthy at any size. I don't know if that's what Lizzo was pushing, but they go out and say, hey, you don't have to diet and exercise to lose weight. All you have to do is just the quote right here. Stop dieting and start listening to her, quote, mental hunger. When your body will tell you what it is you need to eat. Your body will tell you what you're hungry for. And listen to your body. Your body knows best. So she stopped.
That's almost word for word every Snicker commercial for the last 20 years, right? They had the clock and everything.
So she starts eating cupcakes and Nutella. In 2 months, she regained 50 pounds that she had lost while dieting and exercising. And so the whole point of the story is if you are on any social media, you will see these influencers saying you don't have to diet and exercise. You should just listen to yourself. But big food is getting behind them. General Mills, maker of Cocoa Puffs and Lucky Charms, both delicious, launched a multi-pronged campaign that capitalizes of the teachings of the anti-diet movement. It's like a conspiracy theory. They're getting money behind it. Yeah. Don't worry about all this corn syrup and the 40 grams of sugar per serving. No, no. If your body's telling you to eat it, go right ahead. I mean, I love that so much. The idea that anything... 6,000 social media posts by 68 registered dietitians with at least 10,000 followers. 40% of these influencers repeatedly used anti-diet language. And the best part, registered dietitians are giving the advice. It's Jack LaLanne tried to teach us how many years ago? Eat right and exercise. That's literally all there is to it. But people would rather eat what they want and take a shot of Ozempic than put in the work.
That's why I'm totally cool with that whole story, because there has to be personal fucking responsibility to know that if you eat less than you burn, then you're going to lose weight and vice versa. And if you don't know that, you deserve to get got, like Herbalife, like those dumbasses that kept going into those pyramid schemes over and over again. You're like, yeah, let them get their money. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't see them in your garage over there. I was looking for Herbalife boxes.
Well, I love it because it's the exact people who should be pushing this movement. I think more industries should do this. I think Budweiser should come out and be like, this is a disease, alcoholism, and this guy, the leader of Alcoholics Anonymous, is being ableist. All right? He's shitting all over people with alcoholism, telling them not to drink, when it's like, hey, man, are you... What are you, Nancy Reagan? What is this, The Handmaid's Tale? What are you, the some kind of moral purist? Also, here's a picture of the founder of AA wearing blackface to a Halloween costume from '87. So you got to quit drinking and support racism? Or are you going to crack a nice cold Budweiser and accept people for who they are?
Well, registered dietitian Catherine Lawson... and the director of regulatory and science affairs at Nestle tweeted, people need to feel heard and seen to help break the cycle of shame when it comes to losing weight and eating. Hey, remember the movie The Insider when they talked about now they're called Altria, but they changed William Morris, when William Morris hired all the scientists to fight against the correlation between smoking and cancer. That's literally what this is you have dietitians working for processed food companies saying, just eat what you want. We've been
we did that with fat and sugar too in the '80s, right? Or in the '90s or something like that, where they were like, sugar is so good for you. You should get all that sugar.
Right. I mean, I grew up with the feared food pyramid. I, you know, until I was probably, I don't know, 12 years old into high school, or they were telling me in health classes that a balanced diet, a healthy balanced diet, where it would be about 70% of your calories per day should come from carbs and dairy. That's what the fuck. And then the people get all, oh, you don't trust what the government says about medicine? What are you, a right-wing conspiracy theorist? It's like, yeah, there's a lot of that being pushed. But I mean, you guys have been pumping lies down our fucking throats my whole life.
And then they just say, we learned something new. I don't know. Maybe they did update, but at the same time, there are certain things that could be very obvious.
I think Palms was getting greased to make that food pyramid. I think that food pyramid was brought to you by Kellogg's. That's what I think.
Well, it should have been, because now you have these, I will always advocate for fearlessly nourishing meals, including cereal. And then she promotes, Trix as like, because they're for kids. This is just, the problem with comedy is you can't write something more absurd than reality. The fact that just how this story started, this poor woman, and I joked and made a little fun, but you go to the top of this story, she's 300 pounds and she began to worry about her health. Yeah. I'm going to be a dick here, but I'm going to say it. Nobody's born 300 pounds. At some point you're going to notice along the way, my clothes fit different. I've bought larger size. That's when you make the step, not like, holy shit, how did I get here? I was listening to dumb people. I don't know. Like you said, Anthony, personal accountability seems to be dead.
No, I mean, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was about to say that I feel like if you don't have kids, you eat until a tractor needs to move you. That's completely cool with me. I want to see it. Kids, you got things you got to do there. So morally, you got more out there. But personal responsibility goes both ways, where I don't personally give a fuck about what happens to you if you are by yourself and not hurting anybody else. So, and I also like my 600-pound life. That's like my favorite show. So got to keep those fatties rolling.
I saw one episode of that show, and I couldn't remember exactly the quote, but the guy had to get into a hatchback and said, the quote was something like, oh, I realized I needed to do something. Really? Really? When you were getting in the back of a hatchback, not when you couldn't walk through a doorway without touching both sides at the same, like, I think he had to turn sideways to get through a door. And I'm like,
that's the smallest vehicle they've ever loaded someone into too, by the way. The guy who's in the fucking Astro van it's loaded into, he's like, well, yeah, I've been loading into hatchbacks and I knew that I was fine, but now I know I got a problem.
I knew I was fine.
Ding dong. Ding dong.
All right. We are at less than a minute. It's so Anthony, promote yourself quick.
All right, please go watch us at Open Mic Pain with Anthony and Wayne. We're a podcast about the open mic scene in New England and all that. And then if you're in New England, I do shows all over. Google it.
Jake, I'm recording a special this Friday at Grove 34 in Astoria, April 19th, 7 p.m. Be there.
There you go. And I can be found at NathanTimmel.com. 1 hour special on YouTube. Just go to NathanTimmel.com. And nice talking to you guys.
Thank you. Kellogg's, or you're a bigot.